Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Man's Voice here on this Sunday afternoon or evening, and we're very happy to have you with us at this time. There seems to be some issues with the date and the time and the brothers, we have Ron on, Ron and myself, and we'll hold this down as much as possible, but you can also call in and talk to us and tell us thoughts on your mind at 646-668-8740. That's calling in The Men's Voice. And then tell us what you have on your mind or what would you like the men to talk about today. Once again, that's 646-668-8740. And you're listening to The Man's Voice. And this is David Shorter, person who is leading the show today. And we have Ron on the line. So it's David and Ron show at the moment. And that's a good thing because the David and Ron show has been in works for a long time. We've talked about this many, many times. But anyway, so Ron, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay, David. A little crazed with the holidays and, stressed out that it feels like time is just slipping away and I'm running out of time to buy gifts and send cards, and it's a beautiful time of the year, but at the same time, very stressful for me.
Yes, I've been hearing a lot of that lately. A lot of people who usually buy their Christmas gifts by now and are all behind. Everyone is like, they don't know what's going on. They just can't seem to get it together.
Well, I took a different tactic this year. I do have a list, but when I went to the store, I couldn't be bothered, by pulling out the list and checking off names, whatever. So what I just did is I just bought pretty much what I went around the aisles, and anything that looked nice, I threw it in my cart and bought it, and now it's spread out all over the guest bedroom bed, and I'll assign people to the different items and whatever. Whatever doesn't get assigned gets returned.
Oh, wow. So, hello, Darius. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing super, super wonderfully fantastic, man. I'm so blessed and more than I deserve, man. How are you guys?
We're good. Yeah, it was the Ron and David show. Now it's the Ron Davis and Darius show. We are.
Well, I can't...
Okay, you can't watch.
I like Darius, David, and Ron. Yeah. I like that
bit. I'm sure.
but Darius, there's two D's, so the R's got to be in the middle somehow.
D-R-D.
That's why I started out with it.
All right.
So then Darius, Ron, and David.
Okay, so I'm on the bottom.
There you go.
Are you ready? Okay. I would like to talk about something that has been happening. The release of Brittany Griner, the seven-time All-Star WNBA player who was detained in Russia for 294 days, was released in an exchange that President Biden had did. And the person who was being swapped for was a convicted arms dealer, Victor Bout. And I'm hearing all kinds of things about her release. A lot of people are concerned that why did the United States go after to release her when there is a Marine gentleman who has been detained over in Russia for a while? Why didn't we try to do a swap for him? And then there were some issues about why would we even be trying? She was on drugs, and she is also gay. Why are we spending so much time trying to get this girl back? I've heard all those things from different situations here in the United States. So I wanted to get thoughts from the gentleman around the table. What are your thoughts on this? And President Biden did a lot of work along with, you know, his staff in trying to get her back. And another thing is the drugs, everybody's saying, you know, she was arrested for drugs, but what it really was not something that's illegal in the United States. CBD oil, the oil a lot of people use for to help themselves, you know, better. It's not illegal here. So the fact that she had it, was it that she did not know she wasn't supposed to? But you would think that these teams tell their players, you know, what they're taking to countries. But she was actually playing for a Russian team. So maybe they didn't tell her where she could or couldn't bring it to the country. But anyway, what are your thoughts, Ron?
Well, thank you for calling on me, David. That there's many of us to call on right now. But, I don't know a lot of the details, but what I have heard is very troubling to me. Don't get me wrong. I understand the argument that this could set a precedent. I hear all that. I understand it. In fact, I agree with it. But let's not be hypocrites either. I mean, this isn't the first time that a prisoner swap is done. This happens all the time. And I think the bottom line is that she's black and she's gay, so she doesn't fit the good old boys profile. And that is why so many people on the right are up in arms from what I've heard in the news. Maybe Darius has heard something different because he watches different media channels that I do. But I think it's and people are upset about that. And I think it's despicable if that's what people are thinking, that a white man should take priority over a black woman, whether she's gay, who cares about that? So again, I understand that this could set a precedent, but like I said, you know, this isn't the first time this happens. I mean, for those of us who are criticizing this so much, don't forget that, you know, it wasn't that long ago that Trump approved releasing 5,000 Taliban terrorists who ended up taking over Afghanistan. So, you know, let's get real here and let's stop being hypocritical.
All right. Darius, what are your thoughts?
Ron, I might need you to reference that for me, man. I don't remember Trump releasing 5,000 Taliban soldiers. He did that? I never heard that one before. But what I did hear is I do remember Trump having several hostages, or American citizens who were jailed in other countries, released without giving up anything. And here again, you know, Biden is operating from a status of weakness. I don't think it has anything to do with race, Ron. I guess maybe you're taking Michael's place today since he's not here. But I just think if you look at the crimes, man, there's no comparison to this guy who's responsible for the deaths of thousands of people all over the world. And then you look at Brittany Griner, who just had a very small amount of marijuana, like you said, that would probably, like David said, here in the U.S., it would be legal. It wouldn't even be, you know, citation worthy. However, I think they chose her because she's a more high-profile case. The Marine guy, I don't think it has anything to do with her being black or gay or, you know, female. I just think she's a higher profile case, and the Biden camp would get a lot more recognition by having her released. And the people who are up in arms about it, I can clearly see where there's a case, other than the fact that, oh, we're upset because or white boys are upset because a black girl got released and the white man didn't. No, you got to look at the crime and you got to look and see if those were comparable. Are we releasing, you know, apples for apples here? And there's absolutely no comparison to what we gave up to what we got.
Yeah, but Darius, the people that are complaining are the ones that are that are probably, whether they're saying it or not, they're probably thinking what you said that they're not, which is the fact that she's black. There's a lot of people in this country who are racist at the core, and we all know that. But the other thing is that this guy, I don't even know his name, but he already served 15 years. He already served 15 out of 22, so he's already been in jail, you know, a decade and a half. I mean, so I guess, you know, and there's no, you're damned, if you're the president or, you know, whoever's in power and makes these decisions, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, you know, no matter whether it's a Republican, a Democrat, it's never an easy thing to decide, but, you know, it's unacceptable to leave American citizens prisoners in a country like Russia, in my opinion.
I totally agree with you. You're right. You should never try to leave one there. And I didn't know about the 15 years already served, so thanks for informing me on that one. I don't know if that makes much of a difference for me, though. I just think if you're going to release someone who has a small marijuana offense, and Russia has a prison over here, then it should be someone who's in jail here for a comparable crime. And if America is such a racist country, I didn't hear anybody complaining when Trump got a rapper, ASAP Rocky, got him released from a foreign prison and brought him home. And then there's another rapper, Meek Mill, who Trump got released. There's another rapper, I can't remember his name now, that was abroad. And these are black. He got Lil Wayne off of some charges. So these are all black people, and these people who worked to get him released were conservatives. And there weren't any white people saying, oh, why are you getting all those black guys out of jail who clearly aren't Trump supporters? So, you know, every time someone tells, and I know all this stuff is anecdotal, Ron, but every time I hear this stuff about, oh, it's race, we're such a racist country, I can think of at least 10 different incidents that disprove that. America is not a racist country as a whole. Are there racists here? Absolutely. But we're not nowhere, anywhere close to being a racist country.
I wish Michael were here because, you know, he's got a lot more ammunition than I do, but I mean, I see it, Darius. I see and I hear it, even in my own family. I mean, I it's disgusting for me to say that, but I've said it before. I hear it all the time, you know. And some people may not say it, but I know that they're thinking it. And don't ask me how I know that, but you know, it's yes. You're right. Maybe the country. You can't put a label of racist on a country, but it's the people that, you know, there's a lot of racist people in this country. And I think probably in proportionately, maybe more so in this country than others. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just saying that. But I have traveled in many countries, and I see blacks assimilating with whites a lot better than they do here. That's for sure. I mean, in Colombia, it's like it's one and the same. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But there are definitely racist people, like you said.
We got a comment in from one of our listeners who's asking Darius, define racist country, because in my thoughts, the United States, especially during the 60s, was a racist country. That's why there were civil rights. Why are you saying it's not a racist country? What is your definition then?
We're not talking about the 60s, but if we were, I'd just say America was never a totally racist country, not even from the beginning, from its foundation. Just like we had slavery, just like we had slavery in America, we've always had a abolitionist movement from the very foundation of America, or actually before America was founded, there was an abolitionist movement. There's every country in the world has had slavery. Every country, just about every civilized country in the world has had slavery. But there is no country that fought against itself to abolish slavery. There's no country that said we'd rather cease to exist as a nation than to allow this to go on. And in comparison, there are many countries today that still have slavery going on. So for us to say, oh, we're a racist country compared to other countries in the world is just simply denying the facts. If you look at our Congress, if you look at America's leaders, I guarantee you if you compare our leaders to the leaders of other worlds, you will see other nations in the world, you will see that we have far more African Americans in power than any other country in the world.
But maybe that's because we have more.
I just want to finish, Ron. I'm going to let you make your point, but I might forget mine.
Yeah, sure.
I want to finish. All right. So we're out of all the countries, non-brown countries, we elected a black president two times. We have black senators. We have black congressmen. And these are leaders, people in prominent positions in America that you won't see in other countries in the world. So I'd like to dispel that myth that America is such a racist country because we had slavery and because of the civil rights era, when every country in the world went through that some form or another. But we're the ones that do the most and have done the most to right that situation than any other nation. And there are brown and black countries right now that still have slavery to this day, enslaving their own people to this day, right now, as we speak. So, no, we're not a racist country. And the proof is in our leadership and the election of our officials and who we choose as leaders.
Darius, when you're saying that no other country has fought among themselves to abolish slavery, are you not aware that the United Kingdom abolished slavery before our civil right, before our civil wars, that they had did it about 20, 30 years prior to the United States, actually?
Yes, I am aware of it. I'm aware that they were very, very key in actually not even just abolishing slavery, but they went out on ships to actually capture slave merchants and release the slaves. So, yeah, I am aware of that. What I was talking about is the country that fought against itself. So there was a part of America that says, no, we want slavery, and there's another part that says we don't. America is the only country that said, hey, we're willing to cease to exist. We're willing to tear ourselves apart to end this slavery.
So let me turn this upside down for you. So let me just play devil's advocate here and say that we're the only country that fought against ourselves because there were so many people in this country that were racist that wanted to keep the slaves that we had to. We had no other choice.
Grant you that, but I'm still saying that decision was that America decided majority-wise that they would rather cease to exist than to allow this to happen. Because remember, it wasn't the majority. It was only the slave states that wanted to keep it. I mean, it wasn't the majority of the country at the time, which it wasn't all 50 states like it is now. But what I'm saying is the country itself made a decision that we are not going to allow this to happen, and they fought against itself too. And you can use it the other way and say, well, it's a shame that we had to fight against ourselves because it was so many of them. Maybe you can say that. But the bottom line is the action still existed, regardless of the reasoning behind it.
I can tell you that here in Florida, once you leave, you know, the populated, heavily populated areas, you will see the rebel flags. I mean, you will, it's just like a culture shock. And that's why Florida is ruby red. It's not because of cities like Miami, Orlando, Tampa, Jacksonville, or the college towns. It's because of the rest of the state. So there is a lot of, I hate to use the term, but there are a lot of rednecks here, I'll put it that way, that don't really care for black people.
Ron, I live in Georgia, and if you go 40, 50 miles in any direction outside of Atlanta – you're going to see two flags. You're going to see the Georgia Bulldogs and you're going to see the Rebel flag. I get it. I'm not blind to it. But I'm saying that's not the majority of the country. That's a small fraction. If you look at the demographics in your election in Florida and even Georgia for that matter, you'll see for the first time that they're not red because of the rebels or the racists. They're red because Democrats and Latinos switched. They won Dade County, for God's sake. First time in I don't know how many years. They had more blacks that voted Republican than any other time. They had more blacks that voted, more Hispanics that voted for Republican than any other time. So, you know, I'm sorry to do that, but I hate to dispel that myth that, oh, the reason the state is red is because of all the rednecks. That's not true. It's a considerable amount of minorities that voted for Republicans this time.
Yeah, but there's also another reason, a bigger reason, in my opinion, that the Hispanics down here voted Republican overwhelmingly or majority-wise over Democrats. It's because there was a lot of airtime playing about socialism and communism, and that rings loud and clear in the ears and the minds of Cubans and Venezuelans that have escaped regimes that are totalitarian here. And when you say, oh, we're going in the direction of communism or socialism, that scares people, and they're going to vote whatever is the opposite of that is what they're going to vote.
But your argument was that it went red because of racism. Now you're saying it's because of socialism. you're switching arguments.
I'm saying in the big cities, or not the big cities, because actually it was just Miami-Dade County, but Broward County, Palm Beach County, Orlando, Tampa, and Tallahassee and Gainesville were all blue again. So it was Miami because of the Hispanic vote. But the rest of the state, there's a lot of there's a lot of the state that is ruby red down here in Florida.
All right. I think we got that done. But I didn't get from you guys, Darius, do you think that the way the government has handled Brittany Griner is correct, that it should have flowed the way it did, that there was nothing, that it is the only way possible, and you believe that she should have came home before the other gentleman?
No, I'm not happy with the way it was handled, and I'm not going to say who should have came home first because I don't really know all the details on the other gentleman. I know I've heard that he was being accused of being a spy and that it's a trumped up charge, but I don't know. I don't know what evidence they have. But what I will say is America did not operate from a position of strength. I pointed back to Donald Trump on how he got all those guys released and he didn't give up anything. You have to make a position that, hey, we're America, and you either give us back our citizen or else. And that's if, you know, the charge is trumped up. From all I know, from what we know, and no one has denied it, I don't think even Brittany has, she did, in fact, have marijuana. regardless of how small it is, it's against the law in Russia. And so if she did that, it's hard to say, but you may have to suffer the consequences of your actions. And then to release someone responsible for thousands of deaths just to let her go on a marijuana charge, that shows weakness, exhibits a lot of weakness on our part. And as long as Joe Biden is in prison, if he's president, I won't be surprised if Putin does it again. He'll just arrest the next American that comes to Russia on a trumped-up charge, and maybe next time he'll get him to release, you know, a terrorist, or he'll get him to release some of the sanctions that he's placed on Russia. You know, you can't operate from a position of weakness like that, and that's what I disagree with, not so much the fact that it was Brittany Griner.
Well, one of the things I want to make sure that you understand, because you just made a mistake, she was not arrested for marijuana. She was arrested for oil, THC oil, which is illegal in Russia. She had the oil. It was a vape. So that means she smoked to vape, which a lot of people do. It's not illegal in the United States, but it is illegal in Russia. So what is that she had? It was that she had.
THC is marijuana. It's just in the oil. It was in the oil form, but it is marijuana. It's the chemical that makes it marijuana, THC. So she rather you smoke it, vape it, or, you know, liquid flush, still illegal in that country. So that is marijuana. It's a form of marijuana, liquid form of marijuana.
And if you want to say it like that, okay. Ron, you were about to say something.
No, well, I was just about to say that, again, you know, what I said earlier, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. So, you know, if you would have brought the Marine or whatever he is back before that, then you would have never heard the end of that from the other side. So, you know, it's a no-win situation. But, Darius, I sent you, by the way, the article that I found that talks about Trump releasing the terrorists into Afghanistan, just so you have that. So 5,000 of them. So
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean, I didn't know that either, but I looked it up because I knew we were going to be talking about this. So
the one thing that big argument that a lot of people have is, why did we trade Victor Bout? Because Victor Bout was a arms dealer and he was selling arms to people who were out killing Ukrainians or in Africa or other countries and people from the United States. So why would we release an arms dealer for a person who has, you know, this kind of thing that she had, and they linked a lot of things to her. So do you think that the United States and their dealing and their comments with Russia, do you think it was all equal? I get that you don't think it was equal. You think that he should have caused more, both of them should have came for him.
Well, I won't speak for Darius, but I know how Darius feels. But all I can say, you know, since I don't know all the details, I mean, I don't know what conversations were had to release Brittany, but I'm sure it wasn't, you know, just a haphazard decision. I'm sure there's a lot of politics and other things that we're not aware of, you know, that came to make the decision on bringing Brittany instead of the guy. So, I mean, I don't know what those are, but I'm sure it wasn't just a willy-nilly decision. Oh, let's bring Brittany back because she's more high profile. I'm sure that wasn't the case. And if it is, then yes, that is not a good approach.
Do you think that possibly Russia kept her because they wanted this to happen? They wanted Victor back, and they figured out a way to do it? Do you think that we were just using us?
It's possible. I wouldn't put anything past them.
Right. What about you, Darius?
Yeah, I absolutely. I wouldn't doubt that at all. That, you know, even though she may have done it, they said, hey, we're in a good position to get something that we want. And that's what they did. And that's why I also mentioned that I wouldn't be surprised, since Biden caved so easily, that it happens again. And that's why they kept the other American Marine, because they're going to use him as a bargaining chip to get someone else released, maybe an even worse killer or terrorist.
But Darius, you know, I laugh every time you say when Biden caved so easily. How do you know that he caved easily? I mean, she's been in jail for how long now? Hasn't it been like months or even over a year? So who knows all the negotiations and all the talks that have been going on behind the scenes?
The reason I said he caved so easily is because I looked at the comparison of the crime committed and the fact that we still have another American over there. So at the very least, if you're going to release a guy of that magnitude, then give us both of our Americans. Give us both of our citizens. So that's why I said
you don't think that came up?
I'm sure it did, and he lost. I'm sure it came up.
Yeah, but
he negotiated and he lost.
All right.
All right. story that I found interesting was Brittany Griner has to go. She's in Houston now at the hospital, and they're inspecting her and everything, which is all prisoners who come from any country, they have to go through this process. But you'll notice that her locks and stuff are gone. They got cut off. And the reason they got cut off was over there, it's so cold and freezing that when she took a shower and her hair was wet, it froze up. So she had a lock cut off. So, yeah, I thought, wow, that was interesting. Wow. All right, Darius, did you have anything you wanted to bring to the table this week?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you guys discussed it last week because I got disconnected. I got dropped from the call. But I was very, very intrigued by Elon Musk having a reporter come in, an independent journalist, come in and look through all of those emails and find that there was collusion and information suppression committed on the behalf of the DNC, the Biden campaign, the FBI, and social media to help Joe Biden win the election and to hurt Donald Trump in the election, his reelection campaign. And I'm just wondering, what do you guys think about that, and do you think that rises to the level of election interference that the left loves to talk so much about, and this threat to democracy, which the left talks so much about? I just want to know what you guys think about this thing, and what do you think should be done with those people involved?
Well, I believe there's an investigation going on. I don't know a lot of the details, but I heard a little bit about it this morning. So I think there's an investigation going on, and if it is true, then yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is obstruction of a fair election or whatever the term is. But you know, I don't doubt for a second that this person that Elon Musk, you know, put in charge of looking into all this and the emails and all that, I don't buy it for a second that this person is unbiased in any way. That just doesn't exist in this day and age, in my opinion. So there's always more than meets the eye. So I guess we'll just have to sit back and wait and see what happens. But isn't there an investigation going on now, Darius?
There is.
Hello?
Yeah. I don't know what happened to Darius. He's there, but maybe his phone went out or something. But yeah, there is.
Oh, yeah, because I heard that they were talking to or interviewing the former CEO, I think, of Twitter. I forgot his name, but Jack something, I think, or I don't know. But so yeah, we'll see what happens. But you know, neither side is you know, completely guilty free here. I mean, it's politics. Politics are dirty, you know, and it's worse in other countries, but you know, it's really not any better here. It's dirty politics.
Yeah, but Ron, we only have one side colluding with the DOJ, colluding with the FBI, colluding with big social media. There aren't any emails coming saying, hey, let's keep this secret about Donald Trump out. That CNN and the Washington Times and the New York Times and stuff didn't come to Mar-a-Lago to meet with Trump about suppressing information. They didn't get with Hillary Clinton. There wasn't anyone from the Republican Party that paid a British agent to disseminate information from Russia and declare that there was some kind of Russian dossier on Trump's plans to basically steal the election. All of this stuff happened on the left. None of this stuff, there aren't anything, any rumors or emails that we found or laptops that we found that said that this stuff was happening on the right.
So you're saying that the left is more powerful or you know, diabolical or, you know, or because you know it's 50-50. The population of this country is pretty evenly split 50-50. So I don't know what you're implying.
Okay, so yeah, I am saying they're more powerful, and yes, the population of the country is 50-50. But when you look at the big Fortune 100 companies, when you look at the media, when you look at the big media, you look at NBC, CBS, ABC, CBS, you look at all of MSNBC, CNN, control the narrative is 97, 98% Democrat. When you look
and
at the campaign donations, because they're raised in, they go to liberal colleges. Most of them come from liberal schools and they're liberal academics. But when you used to look at that, because they have the bully pulpit, even at Twitter, even in Facebook, even at Google, they are more powerful in that sense. But, yeah, you're right. 50-50, the country is kind of split down the middle. But the country the vast majority of the country doesn't have the bully pulpit like social media and traditional media does. And they're all.
But the richest man in the richest man in the world is here in the U.S. and he's Republican. So I mean, why can't?
He's not.
I mean, there's
not Republican. He's not Republican.
He's
they're
not
calling
Republican?
Him a Republican now. No, he was a Democrat. He traditionally before this, all this stuff happened, Elon Musk was
Elon
a Democrat.
Elon Musk is a Democrat?
Yeah, he's not a registered Republican.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought he was a Republican.
Yeah. And you got to remember, he just now took control of Twitter. So you can't say, oh, so the richest man in the world is a Republican. No, he just now took over Twitter. So up until this time, from the FBI, the DOJ, even Trump's FBI, Trump appointed the FBI director, even his FBI director. They're all swaying to the left. So that's why I say that. And there isn't any evidence. I'm looking for it. You guys did an investigation. When I say you guys, I mean the left. Did a 2-year investigation, a 3-year investigation of Donald Trump to look for collusion, and you couldn't find any. Meanwhile, we've got collusion seeping out of the walls with you guys from every level of government and media colluding with them. So, yeah, absolutely the left is diabolical. Now, am I saying that the right probably wouldn't be if they had that power? I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to go that far. But it's just what it is right now.
Interesting. All I know is that I have good company then.
if you want to be affiliated with election suppression, and
the Democrats are the ones that are suppressing elections.
Suppressing the information for elections, absolutely yes. We got evidence of that. We got evidence of that in black and white.
Yeah,
you know,
but
the
Republicans
that admit it.
The Republicans are trying to make it so that poor people and black people have less of an opportunity to vote. So that's oppression too.
Yeah, that's what
I know
they
said
in Georgia. We had record turnout, minority turnout in Georgia. I mean, you know, the new law was the Jim Crow 2.0, and we're going to keep all the poor people and black people from voting. But yet Raphael Warnock won, and black people turned out and like they never turned out before. So if Republicans are suppressing the vote, dang, I hate to see how much they would have lost by if they didn't suppress the vote.
but a friend of mine from Atlanta, and it wasn't David, another friend who happens to be white, told me that they got rid of Saturday voting and that hurt that the turnout would have been even greater for the African American communities because they can't a lot of them can't take off during the week to vote. I mean I don't know that because I don't live there, but that's what I heard.
Yeah, that's not true. But even so, that's not voter suppression because you say we're not going to have Saturday voting. I mean, good Lord, we have more days than almost any other state, with the exception of maybe California or somebody else. We have more days to vote than almost any other state in the union. So that voter suppression thing is bullcrap. You can vote up to 40 days before the election day in Georgia. So if you can't get one of those days out of 40 days, then you don't deserve to vote.
Wow. All right. Ron, is there something you would like to bring to the table?
Yeah, David. I wanted to bring up this I forget what he covers sports, the Wall is his last name, the guy who died covering the World Cup in Qatar. And do you think that there's circumstances there? Do you think there's something fishy going on, in other words? Because I've heard rumblings. In fact, Darius, you'll be proud of me. I heard this on Fox this morning. Somebody say that that there's something fishy going on there. They're going to do an autopsy. You know, he wasn't liked by FIFA. I'm sure he wasn't liked by officials for World Cup soccer in Qatar, and especially when he wore a T-shirt, I think it was, with the rainbow flag in support of his brother, who is gay, in solidarity with him. So I don't know. I think it's very strange that, you know, somebody who apparently, I guess he had pneumonia, I think I heard, or something like that, but he was fine before, until he went there, and then all of a sudden he's gone, and he's 49 years old. I mean, yeah, that happens, but I don't know. What do you think? Darius.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking David. I apologize.
No.
I haven't heard this story, Ron. It's interesting, man.
Oh,
and,
really?
I would not be surprised, though, especially – you know, if they tell you that it's against the law, which they're saying it's against the law there to wear anything with the rainbow on it. So they warn the athletes coming over there, like, don't wear rainbow armbands or socks or anything like that, because it's illegal. And so if that did happen, I for one would not be the least bit shocked. But
he was detained.
Wow. Wow. It goes back to what I was saying earlier, though, Ron, about us being a racist, bigoted country. You know, you have stuff like this goes on in other countries where homosexuals are openly murdered in a lot of countries, a lot of Islamic nations, they can actually.
I know that.
Yeah.
And it's very hypocritical. Go ahead, Darius.
No, I was just saying, and yet, you know, we talk about America being racist and bigoted, and we don't have anything like that exists here in this country. We don't have any, and not saying that we're perfect, and I'm not saying that what happens here among individuals is just, but I'm just saying you just brought up a perfect example of how wonderful and beautiful a country like America is compared to some of these other countries.
But Darius, gay people get attacked and beaten and even killed here all the time in America. It still happens.
Yeah,
but
it happens and it's illegal. It's not state sponsored, is what I'm saying. You have in some of those countries, it's state sponsored. It's legal for you to kill a family member if he comes home and tells you that he or she is gay. You can throw them off
so
the
don't
rooftops
you think-
of buildings. They have public hands.
Yeah, don't you think it's hypocritical then of us as a country, as a people, to even participate in the World Cup in Qatar, and to even allow their airlines to come into our airports when they stand for something? I mean, we have sanctions against China for treating humans poorly and human violations. I can't think of the word now, but you know what I'm saying. So why are we treating Qatar differently? You know, we don't have sanctions against Qatar. Their flights come every day to Miami and, you know, back and forth every day, as I'm sure they do to Atlanta and lots of cities here. So isn't it hypocritical then of us to, I mean, I know it's not a perfect world and you can't, you know, you can't stop doing business with everybody who doesn't believe exactly what we believe, because that wouldn't make a lot of sense either, I guess.
Yeah, like you said, you can't stop doing business with everyone. You can prohibit those practices from taking place on American soil. But what I would say is America as a whole is not hypocritical, but you do have a lot of activists who are hypocrites. Like you have LeBron James, who will talk about, a white police officer killing a black man in America, and he'll, voice that, yet he will have no business at all doing movie deals and sneaker deals with the Chinese who have slavery, who have genocide, who have internment camps, who have work camps. He has no problem with dealing with those.
But why is it? Yeah, that's terrible. I agree. But why is it bad for LeBron James to do that, but it's okay for Trump to do business with China? All of Trump's merchandise is made in China when he was president.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's okay for him to do that either. If he's coming out and saying something about America, that's not what he did. I'm saying you can't say that you are for, one thing, for social justice, or you are for against racism, and yet you deal with the country. You can't come out and say one and then you do the other. That's all I'm saying. Or you can, but expect to be ridiculed and criticized.
So I have a question, Chris. Do you think Donald Trump, you have any thoughts about Donald Trump having dinner with Nick Fuentes about a week ago?
Yes. I'll let Darius talk first.
That was very, very weird to me. From what I understood, Nick Fuentes he wasn't invited personally. He came as a plus one with Kanye West. Now, should the president know who's coming to his home? I would say yes. He should know, or at least his staff should have advised him. But the way that I understood it is he did not know who this person was. And he did not know that this person was coming until after things went down. That's the way that his people are explaining it, and that's the way that Kanye explained it, that he was the one who brought Nick Fuentes with him.
Of course, the president asked him. Sure. But also, Trump has four times throughout his presidency talked about how he did not like Fuentes and thought Fuentes was not a person that should be part of the Republican Party. But now he's having dinner with him. So I'm sure he asked Kanye West to take
Yeah, maybe. Either way, it's still not excusable, because you should know, or your team should know, who's coming in to have dinner with you. So I don't say that lets him off the hook.
Yeah, I don't buy it for a second that when Trump says he didn't know he was coming, I don't believe that for a second. I mean, I think he knew he was coming. I don't know for what reason he would want him there. I don't even know why he wanted to have a get together with Kanye either.
Well, you got to remember that Kanye was a supporter, a big supporter of his in the beginning. And so I guess that's why Kanye was invited there when he was at the White House.
With all the negativity that's surrounding Kanye these days, I mean, doesn't Trump think that it'll hurt him to have him there at Mar-a-Lago? I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It's not smart politically at all with all the controversy surrounding him. Absolutely. I won't defend that for a minute or attempt to defend it, because I can't. It makes absolutely no sense. But what I will point out is the hypocrisy, though, on the left. I will point out how they had no problem with Raphael Warnock and Barack Obama, who met with Jeremiah Wright and has pictures with Louis Farrakhan. Nobody's out there asking every Democrat, hey, do you disavow Louis Farrakhan? Do you disavow Jeremiah Wright? Nobody's out there asking them that. So, once again, I'm not going to defend Trump. If he's affiliated with racists and bigots, then he's wrong and he should be called out on it. just as anybody else on the left should be called out for being associated with anti-Semites like Louis Farrakhan and Jeremiah Wright.
Yep, can't disagree with that one.
All right. Did you have some more? Do you want to talk about, Ron, bring to the table?
Trying to think here what else has been going on. Can't really think of anything else right now. What else has been going on? It's really that Britney and all of that has dominated the news these days, I think.
That's true.
Hey, David.
Yes?
Can I ask you guys, well, not ask you guys something. I wanted to make a comment about something and see if you guys could comment on it. And what happened in Georgia last week kind of made me think of a conversation that we had on The Man's Voice a few weeks ago. And I remember Michael was saying that it's going to be at some point a race riot, and America is more divided than ever. We're split, and we can't find common ground. And when I looked at what happened in Georgia last week and what happened in Florida election week, I noticed that Americans are not as partisan as we all thought they were. When you looked at what happened in Georgia last week, Georgia overwhelmingly voted for a Republican governor. Kemp won by almost 10 points over Stacey Abrams. But yet there also was a Republican lieutenant governor and a Republican secretary of state. But yet you had a split ticket where most of the Republicans went over to vote for Warnock. And so you had the same thing in Florida, where you had Hispanics and blacks come across and vote for the white candidate instead of the black candidate. I'm sorry, when I said the white, I'm talking about Deming, Val Deming.
Val Deming, yeah.
Yeah, right. So you had that happen. So I saw that as, even though I wanted our side to win, I saw that as encouraging. America is not as partisan as they say that we are. America is not as divided as they say that we are. And we're not as tribal as they say we are, because we demonstrated in this last election that some Americans will cross over to a candidate that they believe in, regardless of their party. And so that was a very bright, optimistic observation on my part. And I'm an ultimate optimist, so I'm always looking for something like that. But, you know, I'd like to hear you guys' opinion on it and see if you think that, hey, maybe things aren't as bad as we thought they were.
Yeah, Darius, you do bring up some valid points.
That used to say quite frequently that we are more divided than we've ever been. And, you know, maybe I was wrong. Maybe we really aren't. But, you know, when you look at the polars, the polar opposites on the left and right, you know, if you take those out of the equation, and let's say it's, I don't even know, but let's say it's 10% on either side, because it's not the overwhelming majority. That leaves 80% of the rest of America, which could lean one way or another, you know. And I said that many times, too, before, that I consider myself a Democrat, but I believe in a lot of things that Republicans believe in. So, you know, maybe I'm like cinema. Maybe I'm an independent, and we'll register as an independent voter from now on. I don't know, you know. But, yeah, I think there is some truth to what you just said, which is hopeful, you know. It's good if it is true, if it holds up. Well, what I think is going to really be interesting is what's going to happen with DeSantis and Trump and the Republican Party. I can't wait for that one.
Yeah, that's going to be some fireworks. And Ron, maybe you are an independent, or maybe being on this show with me, man, is rubbing off on you just a little bit, and you're able to.
It's snowing in Miami again,
Barry. You're becoming much wiser, my friend.
Oh, I don't know if I would go that far.
Wow. All right.
David, what do you think about these past elections? Do you think it proves that America is not as tribal as we thought we were?
I think it proves that America is more independent than we think they are. Because we're looking at the person, not the party anymore, with that particular one, because that's the way the marketing of this election went. It was very negative about the person's personality, not about their job doing their jobs. I think that's we looked at it as the person, not for what was good for us. But we looked at that person was bad, so let's not put him in office, even though he could possibly do a great job. So that's my thought.
Well, that's a keen observation. But you know, even with that though, I think that still, with your point, still proves to some degree that we're not as tribal as some may have said that we were, because you have to be, if you're willing to leave, cross your party line because you don't like a candidate or you believe another candidate can do a better job, then I think that disproves the myth.
How did the African American vote, how did that pan out between Walker and Warnock? I don't even know.
It was like 80-20, something like that, 85-15. Am I right, David?
For Warnock?
Yeah, he got like 85%.
From the African-American community? Wow.
Yeah. Okay. David, does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
That's pretty overwhelming majority.
I know that
in
one of the political sites, but it wasn't in the African-American community, that Warnock got something like 783 votes to Walker 39 or 40 votes. So it was really, really, you know.
Have you totally off politics now, but have you guys started or finished your holiday, Christmas, whatever holiday you celebrate, gift shopping?
I haven't even started.
I was going to say the same thing, David. I haven't even started yet.
Really?
Nah. Don't know if I will. I think I'm probably counting on my wife to pick up the slack on that.
So, lucky you.
Can I use your wife to pick up slack for me, too?
No, if I start doing that, David, then I might put what she needs to do for me in jeopardy. So I'm real selfish when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, let's just say that you've been listening to The Man's Voice, and we've gone through a lot of great comments today. And we will be back again next Sunday. But as we get close to Christmas, we'll drop off until the beginning of next year. So we won't have to run Christmas and New Year's on the air. So join us again next Sunday, probably the last one of the year, and you're going to want to hear what we have to say then. So you guys have a great week, and it's good to have the DRD show.
Take care, guys.
Have a good week, guys. God bless.
You too,
sir.
Take
care, guys. You too. Thank you.